Hello, up and close. Your Pacific has the spotlight tonight. What do you think Mr. Hull and President Roosevelt are going to tell Envoy Caruso?
Well, Hans Kaltenborn, my crystal ball rolled under the bed during that little earthquake we had here night before last. But if I must guess, I'd say that the essence of what my old friend Saburo Caruso will hear in Washington can be contained in the old Western challenge, put up or shut up. Of course, you and I have met those men in state councils who believe that more delay in talk gives us time to prepare while Japan's armies remain tied up in China. If Envoy Caruso runs into them, the two sides might settle down to another gab fest.
Well, tell me this. How does the Pacific Coast feel about war with Japan?
I'm rather proud of the people out here, Hans. Since my boyhood days here, when the Japanese began coming, there's been a feeling about them, a sort of desire to fight Japan anytime over anything. But now that the time may have come and over a real cause, no one here is showing bitterness or venom. Nothing unpleasant has occurred around the big Japanese communities, and our Japanese residents on their part have conducted themselves most properly. Our people on this coast are not excited, Hans. They don't hate the Japanese. But they have already sacrificed their trade to settle this business, and they're unafraid of war with Japan. And if there is a job to be done, they will see it through. But, Hans, aren't we going to be in war in the Atlantic first?
Why, we're in war in the Atlantic now. We've been in war in the Atlantic ever since Hitler began to sink our ships. And I don't believe that that particular type of war is going to be very much accentuated. After all, Hitler is doing just about all that he can do. If he could do more to our ships, he would do it. So I don't believe that we're going to be at war in the Atlantic very much more than we are now, at least for some little time. Of course, the situation is tightening, as we heard tonight from Berlin, where NBC's broadcasters are no longer to be permitted to take the air.
Well, that really tosses the ball back to me in the Pacific, doesn't it, Hans? But wherever it goes, we can count on the boys in NBC's worldwide newsroom to take it for the goal. And what else do you see coming, Mr. Kaltenborn?
Well, of course, we've had a particular event during the past week with reference to the Neutrality Act. A great many people think that will change the situation. I don't believe it will. However, Fred Bate pointed out one interesting thing, that American planes are going to be able to fly direct to England, and of course American cargoes will go direct to England now. But I see that our time is up, so good night, Upton Close.
Thank you, Messrs. Kaltenborn and Close, for clarifying our thinking a little on the world situation. And now let's visit one of the best shows on the NBC networks, that ever-popular institution, The Barn Dance.
Hey, 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 the Haymarket is here. We're all set, the people got to cheer. Barn Dance, the number five, in the Booyah Hotel, the Haymarket
from coast to coast. Here we come with the Alka-Seltzer National Barn Dance Gang to help celebrate the 15th anniversary of the National Broadcasting Company. Friends, for almost 9 years, every Saturday night, the National Barn Dance, sponsored by Alka-Seltzer, has been broadcast from this old WLS hayloft here in Chicago over NBC. Over 1,200 friends and neighbors have gathered here with us tonight to celebrate and pay tribute to the National Broadcasting Company on their 15th anniversary. That's right, Barn Dance Gang. Now then, let's make the old rafters ring right out. And first on the docket are those four rural rhythm rascals, the good old Hoosier Hotshots.
Are you ready, Hezzy?
Oh, boy, I'm almost ready.
All right, let's go.
Meet me tonight in the cowshed after the cows come home. Though it is only a cowshed, it's just like home sweet home.
when Betsy and Sally and Mary say moo, that means they are lonesome and mooing for you. So meet me tonight in the cowshed after the cows come home.
Girls from Kansas who came to Chicago to sing a little bit south of North Carolina. Jean, Lou, and Ginger, the Dinning Sisters.
Woo, 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 woo. Mr. Engineer, won't you hurry up? Woo, 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 woo. Can hardly wait till I return to the place I love so. Just a little bit south of North Carolina. That's where I long to be. In a little brown shack in South Carolina, someone waits for me. In his letter he says that the weather is fine and the folks are feeling great too. That the garden looks grand and the red rose vine is singing to the gate. Just a little bit south of North Carolina, that's where my thoughts all stray. To the one I love best.
Don't forget me. I got to put my oar in here on this celebration.
Okay, Pat Buttram. Say, we're talking about radio tonight. I don't think you'd know very much about that subject.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Why, my folks down in Winston County is about the biggest radio listeners anywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah, Paul got one of these newfangled radios just the other day. It's one of these midget radios, you know, the little bitty ones.
Oh, really a small radio, eh?
Oh, I'll say. Paul likes to listen to Lum and Abner, but that radio's so small he can only get Abner. And Paul had heard people talk about these shortwave furrin broadcasts, and the other night he decided to tune in on a furrin country. So he twisted and turned the dial every which way, but all he got was static. The worst cracking and popping I ever heard. Finally, I said to him, I said, "You got anything, Paul?" He said, "Well, I think I got Brazil. I can hear him a cracking nuts." Yeah, but like I said, Joe, Paul listens to the radio all the time. Just the other night, Ma got fed up with it. He is sitting there trying to hear a program, and finally, Ma just hollered at him. She said, "Paul, I believe you think more of that radio than you do of me." Paul turned to her, and he said, "Yeah, and I get less interference out of it, too." Yeah, but, Joe, we've got one fella here everybody likes to listen to on the radio.
I know just who you mean, Pat. And it's his time right now. Here he is, folks, that scintillating strummer of the Silver Strings, Eddie Peabody, the Banjo King.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a real pleasure and a privilege to take part in this 15th anniversary party for the National Broadcasting Company. And we all say many more successful birthdays to you, NBC. And now, friends, as we swing into an old-fashioned square dance, we say goodbye and good luck to you, NBC, from Station WLS and the whole National Barn Dance Gang.
Oh, get up, get up, get up, get on your way. Sun is bright, the world's all right, today's another day. Oh, hum,
you know
hum,
who hum. That is, don't you? Yep, it's Ed East, a favorite wherever there's a loudspeaker, and star of Breakfast in Bedlam.
Well, thank you very much, Graham, and hello, everybody. You know, as an old-timer in radio, it's nice to be here on this 15th birthday party of NBC. Now, the NBC, I'll have you know, was a mere infant of three when I came around to plug 'em, and it doesn't seem like 12 years ago. But then, of course, everything's fast in radio, you know, just like that. Now, the reason I got into radio was, well, I'd been in vaudeville for 20 years, and then vaudeville started to collapse, and things were awful bad, and it looked for a while as though I'd have to go to work. But it's not that I don't want to work, you understand. It's just that I don't like getting up in the morning to catch the 8:15. Now, that was the reason that I became an actor in the first place, so as I could sleep till noon. Well, sir, I came around to NBC, and I did an audition for them, and they said, Ed, you're just what we've been looking for. Now, we've got just the spot for you, so they whipped out a contract, and I whipped it into my pocket, and I whipped out of the building and out on Long Island. You know, I bought a house 25 miles out, you know, where the birds twittered in the Sylvan Glen, and I could sleep till noon every day. And then I looked at the contract. It was for a show that started at 7 a.m., and that explains why one ex-vaudevillian who likes to sleep until noon now gets up every morning at 4:30 a.m., But say, I like Breakfast in Bedlam. Now, don't get me wrong. And occasionally I hear from a listener who likes it, too. You know, one woman sent me a letter telling what a great help the program was to her. She said that she always had trouble getting her husband up and out to work in the morning. Now, she says, she just tunes in my show every morning, and the husband can't get out of the house fast enough. Well, enough of this now. Rudy Valley will now take over in Hollywood.
This is Rudy Valley again. For a while, I thought I was... Thought I was back there up in old Sacarepe, Maine, when I heard that bonbon dance hour thing there. Well, I can remember them way back in Portland, Maine, years ago, when I was just a tiny tot, and they used to play B.F. Keith's Theater. Imagine how thrilled I was at the New York and Brooklyn Paramounts when I used to introduce them. And I used to stand on the wings and watch her scatterbrained comedy and his excellent falling for her type of comedy. And it's my pleasure to introduce George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Rudy. Gracie and I are very happy to be here tonight at this birthday party. I want to congratulate NBC on its 15th anniversary. I can remember when...
You know, George, that's a coincidence.
What's a coincidence?
That NBC and its birthday are the same age.
Yes, yes. It's a big coincidence. Gracie, everybody in the world is the same age as the birthday. Anyway, I can remember...
Not my sister Bessie.
Anyway, I can remember...
She's 10 years older than her birthday.
Gracie, look, you see, 15 years ago, the Red Network and the Blue Network were united, and this is their anniversary.
Oh, so that's where all the little radios came from.
Yes, and some weighed 7 pounds.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, George, am I getting a big thrill tonight. I've never seen so many radio stars. You know, but the thing that surprises me is that none of them look the way they sound. And most of them don't even sound that way.
You say. Well, when we go out, I will listen to the way they look.
Oh, good.
Yes.
You know, I just saw Jack Benny, and I must tell you something. Ever since he made Charlie's Aunt Mary's been having a lot of trouble with him.
Really?
Yeah, the first one up is the best one dressed.
Well, I saw Jack, and he looks like he overslept.
Oh, and, George, I'm the last one in the world to say anything would cause any trouble,
I know.
And I hope this doesn't.
Yes.
But I was standing backstage talking to Molly McGee,
yes.
And a man came up and he said, hello, sweetheart, and kissed her, and then she introduced him as Jim Jordan.
Yes.
And if Fibber ever finds
Gracie,
out...
Gracie. Look, Fibber McGee and Jim Jordan are the same.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right.
Guess not.
And that Molly said the silliest thing. She says, Gracie, I get half of our salary, do you? Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
If she gets half, Fibber must get the other half, and that would leave nothing for me.
Yeah, that's right, I guess.
And that's the same as I get from you, so why should I go with them?
Yeah, that's very silly, and I just assumed you wouldn't talk to her again.
And while I was talking to Molly, those two radio actors came over. You know those two tailors from Pine Ridge?
Two tailors from Pine Ridge?
Yeah, Blum and Adler.
Blum and Adler?
Yes.
You mean Lum and Abner.
That's what I said, Blum.
Blum
and
Adler,
Adler.
Yes.
Anyway, they're very cute boys, and they said, would you and Molly like to dance? And I said, we certainly would. So they played the mouth organ, and Molly and I danced for half an hour. We had more fun.
And while this was going on, where was I?
Oh, you were in the corner talking to Bing Crosby.
Oh, yes, he was telling me how much he liked horses.
Did you put in a good word for my sister Bessie?
Gracie, stop with your sister Bessie. Bing Crosby's married.
Oh, it's too bad. Wouldn't he be perfect if he'd never been married? Then my sister Bessie could marry him and live with him and his four children.
Yes, I'll talk to his trainer.
Did you know, George, that Crosby only lives 2 miles from us as the crow flies?
Gracie, as the what flies?
As the crow flies.
Gracie, S-W-A-N.
Oh, yes. He lives 2 miles from us as the crow swims.
Yeah, that's much better.
So anyway, Molly and I were standing there, and after Blum and Adler left...
The two tailors.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I was surprised. That Molly McGee is certainly getting nearsighted.
Nearsighted?
Yeah, she says, Gracie, here comes a wolf. And when he got up to us, it was Bob Hope.
A wolf is an expression, and the reason she said that about Bob Hope is because he's always talking about Madeline Carroll and Lana Turner and Paulette Goddard.
Oh, yeah, well, I happen to know that isn't true about Bob. He just told me that even last night he turned his nose up at a girl.
Turned his nose up at a girl?
Yeah.
And you believe it?
Of course I believe it. It's still turned up.
Yeah, I guess he forgot to turn it down.
Say, George, Molly and I are just dying to see that Indian that's on the radio now.
An Indian?
Yes.
What Indian?
Red Skelton.
Red Skelton?
Uh-huh.
He's not an Indian.
Well, there must be Indians around here somewhere. Somebody scalped Edgar Bergen.
Come on, George.
Thank you, George and Gracie. And now, ladies, grab your partners. It's time to dance for OR on our way to pick up the music of a swell band, Glenn Miller and his orchestra.
Good evening, everyone. This is Glenn Miller bringing NBC a Chattanooga Choo Choo full of congratulations from our whole gang.
Choo-choo.
Yes, track 29.
or you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to board Chattanooga Choo-Choo?
I've got my fare.
And just a trifle to spare.
You leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer.
And then you have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing eight to the bar, then you'll know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shovel all the coal in, gotta keep it rolling.
Ooh, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station.
Satin and lace.
I used to call Funny Face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'm never wrong.
So, Chattanooga choo-choo.
Won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, Chattanooga.
Get aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga.
All aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga. Choo-choo.
Won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga choo-choo.
That was Grand Glenn, perfectly delightful. Yes, you know, we'd like to hear another number, but time has a way of slipping by, and things are happening in the world. Now, let's find out just what has been happening as John W. Vandercook brings us the latest news.
Here is the latest from the Black Front, from the coal fields of the eastern United States. The miners are said to be reporting for work in the mines of the National Mining Company near Pittsburgh. These mines are owned by the United States Steel Corporation, and they are among the so-called captive mines, which supply coal direct for the great Pittsburgh steel industries. The headquarters of the United Mine Workers in Washington had announced earlier that work would stop at midnight, but some of the miners have said that they had no orders to strike. And a late bulletin from Kuibyshev, the second-string Soviet capital on the Volga River, 688 miles due west of Moscow. The Soviet Army newspaper, Red Star, says that American-made pursuit planes have now arrived on the Russian fighting front. The authoritative Soviet paper says a full squadron operating around Moscow has been equipped with low-wing fighters made in the United States. And the paper adds the American planes have won the enthusiastic approval of the Russian Army flyers. And now let's take a look at a modern Tower of Babel, right here in the heart of Radio City. But a Tower of Babel with a difference, for in this much higher tower in Radio City, the men build well, and the men of many languages thoroughly understand each other. It's NBC's International Division.
Here we are in NBC's International Division, a beehive of activity if ever there was one. Here, the news of the world is received over multiple tickers and sent out again in six languages. English, Spanish, Portuguese, German, French, and Italian. Musical programs, shows of all kinds, and notable speakers are presented to an audience of millions and rebroadcast by NBC's Pan-American Network of over 100 stations in 20 countries. We're going to ask a representative of each language section to bring you a greeting in his own language. First, we have French.
Ceux qui chaque jour parlent aux auditeurs de langue française sont nos ondes courtes, sont heureux de se joindre à leurs collègues des grands réseaux américains et de célébrer ce 15e anniversaire de la National Broadcasting Company. Nous vous souhaitons donc à tous une bonne écoute. Souhaitez-nous de votre côté une longue vie. Merci.
Italien.
Siamo felici di partecipare questa sera alla celebrazione del 50esimo anniversario della NBC. Benché non ci sentiate mai qui nel nostro paese, siamo al microfono ogni giorno per mostrare al mondo cos'è una democrazia in azione, quale la nostra.
Spanish. Tenemos sumo gusto en participar en esta celebración del 15º aniversario de la National Broadcasting Company. Aunque nuestras voces no son oídas en nuestro país, a diario continuamos nuestra labor demostrándole al mundo lo que significan nuestras instituciones libres y democráticas. A greeting in German.
Wir freuen uns sehr an dieser 15. Jahresfeier der NBC teilnehmen zu dürfen. Obwohl unsere Übertragungen in deutscher Sprache bei uns in den Staaten nicht sehr bekannt sind, weil sie ja in allererster Linie für Europa bestimmt sind, würde sie doch interessieren zu wissen, dass wir in vielen Teilen der Welt eine große Hörerschaft haben, die durch unsere deutschsprachigen Sendungen über alles Amerikanische auf dem Laufenden gehalten wird.
And now in Portuguese. Temos grande prazer em participar nas celebrações comemorando o 15º aniversário da NBC. É verdade que neste país não somos ouvidos ordinariamente, mas nem por isso é que deixamos de irradiar todos os dias as regiões do mundo onde se fala a língua portuguesa. Put them all together and they add up to this. Greetings to the entire world on this occasion from NBC's International Division. Or, as Ed Eastwood say it back in Studio 6A...
Gracias, senor. Much grande a programa TKO Morgenthau, Secretary of Treasury, by a defense bond, Washington, C.C. Yes, and that means that this is a great country, folks, just in case you didn't understand the language. But say, here's a good sample of a language that we all know and understand. Brad Reynolds, popular young singing star of radio, sings Romance.
Each life must have its heyday, though we may wait for years. Each day becomes a playday, each day when love appears. Romance, romance may come with the spring or fall. When hearts are forlorn, it brings them the dawn of love. Romance, romance is heaven for one and all. That's found in your eyes and not in the skies above. Poetic words set to love, notes of birds sweetly blending. Off from the tongue and their song to a glorious ending. Romance, be eager to heed its call, for life is a void till you've enjoyed romance, sweet romance. Words set to love, notes of birds sweetly blending. Off from the tongue and their song to a glorious ending. Romance, romance, be eager to heed its call, for life is a void till you enjoy romance, sweet romance.
Thank you, Brad Reynolds, and hello again, Rudy Valley.
This is Rudy Valley again in Hollywood. He's a young fellow who works with Bing on Thursday evenings. He calls Bing Dr. Crosby. He makes much ado about cheeses. He makes much further ado about ringing free bells. Why, I don't know, but he does every Thursday night. He's that famous riding cowboy star, Ken Maynard. I mean, that teacher of manual training, Ken Carpenter.
Thank you, Rudy.
Well, now, folks, we have two patient visitors who came all the way from Summerfield and have been sitting quietly in the corner of the studio all evening. They are Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, Harold Perry, and his 12-year-old nephew, Leroy, Walter Tetley. And here on the air, a day ahead of usual, we present little Leroy and the great Gildersleeve.
Yes, it's the anniversary.
Gee whiz, Mr. Carpenter. Uncle Throckmorton's waited so long, he dozed off.
Well, wake him up. Let him speak his piece and tuck him back in the bed.
I'm afraid to, Mr. Carpenter. Uncle Morton's always snorting when he's waking suddenly, especially when he hasn't had enough sleep.
Well, now, look, I'm sorry, Leroy, but the show must go on, even over your uncle's sleeping body. Now, wake him up right now.
Well, I'll try.
Yes.
Oh, Uncle Throckmorton.
Yes, yeah, very funny, McGee. 15 years is a long time on a chain gang.
Uncle Mort!
Yeah. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at press. Let's go to sea.
Uncle Mort, wake up, Uncle Mort!
Who's that?
It's me, Leroy.
Leroy who? Oh, Leroy you. Good night, Leroy.
No, wake up, Uncle.
What's the matter? Are we supposed to go on the air soon?
We're on now.
We are? I wonder how we're doing.
Oh, open your eyes, Uncle. I'll get you a cup of coffee.
But coffee will keep me awake, Leroy.
Oh, gee, Mr. Carpenter, I can't do a thing with them. Suppose you try.
All right, I'll try it. Here, Gildersleeve, wake up.
What's the idea? Cut that out. I'm ticklish.
Yes, you must be. I never saw anyone like this. What's he doing, hibernating for the winter?
No, he's just digesting his dinner.
Well, if he keeps this up, he's going to digest himself right off the air. Come on now, Gildersleeve, wake up!
Who are you, mister?
Well, I'm Ken Carpenter.
I don't care who you are. Let go of my lapel. You're crushing my carnation.
Well, snap out of it and get on with the show, Puffy Pants.
Now, see here, Carpenter. One more ill-bred remark emanating from you, and I'll hammer your head into a new shape. Modern design. Yes. Stop that, Leroy.
Why, you bottle-shaped old battleship, is that any way to address a perfect stranger?
You're far from perfect, stranger.
But gee whiz, Uncle Mort, Mr. Carpenter's only trying to help you.
Yes, and a fine help. He's shaking a man till he homogenizes his milk of human kindness. What do you mean, waking me up at this time of the night? Who are you? What do you want?
Well, look, I'm Ken Carpenter, and this is the NBC 15th anniversary party.
Yeah, just what I wanted to find out about. They kept me here for hours, way past my bedtime. When do I go on? Why was I called here? Where's the announcer?
Well, I'm the announcer.
Well, fancy meeting you here. What do you want? Come on, out with it.
We want you to say hello to the radio audience.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place? Where do you want me to say it?
Right here.
In that thing?
Yes.
Is it hooked up?
Well, of course.
Has it been hooked up all along?
Why, sure.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, everybody. Say hello, Leroy. Oh, my goodness. Quiet, everybody. Leroy's asleep. Good night.
Well, these little radio waves must be getting dizzy tonight, trotting back and forth between New York and Hollywood. And now for a change, let's send them to the metropolis of the Midwest. Is this me, Ed East, talking? Well, all kidding aside, folks, you've got a musical treat in store as Percy Faith, the popular director of the Carnation Contented Hour, leads the Chicago Orchestra in Cole Porter's Night and Day. Thank you. Well, the ranks of the networks are formed once again and just in time to line up under the expert supervision of those Leathernecks par excellence, Captain Flagg and Sergeant Quirt. You know, it's a long time since Victor McLaglen and Edmund Lowe made that famous picture, What Price Glory. And it's a long way that both of them have traveled since then. And now they're on that radio regularly, still covering themselves with glory. And I understand the price ain't bad, neither. Attention, Captain Flagg and Sergeant Quirt.
And now for those two great motion picture stars, those two fighting Marines, Captain Flagg and Sergeant Quirt, who made such a name for themselves in that never-to-be-forgotten picture, What Price Glory. These two scrappy Marines have recently been brought to life over NBC in a series of adventures written especially for radio by John P. Medbury. I speak of Victor McLaglen and Edmund Lowe. You know, a lot of people have the idea that Vic and Eddie don't get along very well together, aren't overly friendly. But, of course, that's just publicity. They fight on the screen and on the radio, but the rest of the time they're wonderful friends. And now I'd like to introduce those two great pals, Victor McLaglen and Edmund Lowe.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And we're very happy to be here for NBC's 15th birthday.
Yes, but I'm a little disappointed in this anniversary party.
What's the matter with it, Vic?
Why isn't that big shot from New York here?
Oh, you mean Sid Strokes, the vice president of NBC?
Yes. Why isn't he here?
Well, he had a slight accident this morning. He fell out of a swivel chair and his parachute didn't open.
You know, Eddie, this is our 15th anniversary, too.
Yeah, Vic. It's just 15 years ago that we made that picture, What Price Glory.
Yes, that's right, folks. I played Captain Flagg and Eddie played Sergeant Quirt. And boy, did we fight each other.
Yeah. But as our announcer Hal Gibney just said, in private life we're the best of friends.
Sure. I can't ever remember having an argument with Eddie.
Neither can I, Vic. Why, I spend half my time at Vic's ranch in Fresno.
Yes. And the other half I spend with him at my city home in Pasadena.
Yeah, and oh, boy, what a wonderful host you are.
Oh, thank you.
You never said a word when I broke the chain on the guest hall.
Cut out the sarcasm, Eddie. I remember that night. You spent the whole evening staring at that little blonde. Couldn't get your mind off her.
Well, from the look on your face, you weren't exactly thinking about Whistler's mother. You noticed I took her home, didn't you?
She was only using you for a stooge. I turned her down, and naturally, she was brokenhearted.
Yeah?
Yes. So what did the poor kid say to herself? She said, I'll get even with that McLaglen. I'll burn him up. I'll make a date with the first unromantic, unappealing, unattractive guy I see. And then you come along.
Yeah, well, now that I've come along, you'll be a lot easier for her to forget.
Is that so? Well, I haven't quite reached the age yet where I'm so easily forgotten.
What are you talking about? Well, the women were beginning to forget you, and May Robeson's only piece of jewelry was a safety pin.
Your idea of entertaining a girl is to show her you're tattooing.
Well, what's wrong with tattooing?
Oh, it's nothing but etchings in Technicolor.
Sure. I'm an art education in myself. The last time I was in Paris, they wanted to hang me in the Louvre.
Well, I don't need any tattooing to make a hit with the dames. I got so many girls, I have to repulse some of them.
Sure, and you have no idea how repulsive you can be.
Yes, well, at least I'm not egotistical like you are.
Me, egotistical?
Sure, you're one of your greatest admirers.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you ever got mad at yourself, you'd break up a beautiful love affair.
But at least I never fool around with anybody else's women.
Oh, no, not much you don't. I remember the time we did a personal appearance in Turkey. You hung around the Sultan's harem all day. All day. And then you'd go out to dinner and come back and wait for the night shift to come on.
Yeah? Well, whenever you want a girl, you have to make a house-to-house canvas.
Yeah? Well, what about the little girl I had in the Cameroons, eh? If I was 5 minutes late, she'd pout all afternoon.
She wasn't pouting. She was a Ubangi.
Now, Eddie, didn't you just hear Hal Gibney say we never fight or argue?
Well, we're not fighting, Vic. But another crack out of you and some guy whose initials are Victor McLaglen is going to get socked.
Yeah, when are you going to start socking?
Right now. I'm doing my Christmas socking early.
You better not get tough with me. I can take a telephone book off the wall and tear it in half.
Yeah, well, I don't have to take it off the wall. I tail the wall with it.
Says you.
Says me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know it has been widely quoted that fun's fun and a man's a man for all that. But there comes a time when the higher instincts of mankind must be catered to. And so we bring you a brief meeting of a well-known musical organization. Dr. Graham McNamee will preside.
Greetings, music lovers. This is your temporary chairman, Dr. Graham Sweet Patootie McNamee, welcoming you to another distinguished concert by the no-doubt world-renowned Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street. This society has gained fame over these here networks by reason of its virtuosity in the works of the three B's, Barrel House, Boogie Woogie, and the Blues. Dr. Henry Neonfeast Levine, quaintly referred to as a drizzle by his musicians since he became engaged. The drizzle, I might add, is a drip that's going steady. Dr. Levine will occupy the podium. Now a hush falls over the assemblage. Or was it a hush? Yes, it was a hush. As the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street renders a Dixieland reading of Muskrat Ramble. Go ahead. Street, ladies and gentlemen, under the direction of Dr. Henry Schnozzle Levine. Speaking of things that are from hunger, reminds us that we've been up a long time and it's almost time to have a bite to eat, which remark is very enjoyed indeed, because it enables us to go swiftly out to Chicago, where we're just in time for Don McNeil's celebrated Breakfast Club.
Presenting a four-minute nighttime condensed version of America's morning favorite, the NBC Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you. We woke up bright and early just to how to do you. Coffee's on, the fruit, the toast, the bacon, and the skillet. And Joe Galicchio and his boys have tuned into the belly. So come on, gang, let's take a poll of this day's meeting. Just line up, kids, I'll poll the roll and sing your greetings.
Jackson, well, it goes on like that. That's enough, Joe. Thanks. It goes on like that every morning. That's the way we start in our program. We're very happy to do so, too, as we have done for a long, long time over the National Broadcasting Company networks. We're very happy to congratulate NBC on their 15th anniversary today. Of course, the Breakfast Club, which we are giving you a little preview of, in our program, 6 mornings a week over NBC, is just a little over 8 years old. NBC is 15 years old. Of course, we'll catch up to them in time. We have a lot of fun every morning around the breakfast table. We have a 24 or more piece orchestra here with us this morning, right now, around the breakfast table. We only have 14 usually in the morning. Of course, 14 in the morning sound like 28. They're awake at that time. But it's a lot of fun, and we've been with you a long time. We've had a lot of fun. We usually start in our program, just to give you a little preview of how we act, by asking everybody to march around their own breakfast table as we play a march like this. That's enough. Everybody marches around their own breakfast table as we play a march like that for them. Of course, people who have their breakfast table with one edge of it attached to the wall, it presents quite an obstacle, almost insurmountable, to walk around their breakfast table, and that's something we've never solved in 8.5 years, but we're working on it. And then, usually about that time after the march is over, we have our male soloist sing a beautiful number. It goes something like this. All right, Jack, sing. Well, he isn't here tonight, but you get the idea, and he sings a beautiful song. And then we usually have a very peppy number because people like to be awakened in the morning, you know, feeling swell. All right, now we have a lovely number like this. Rise and shine. All right, then they're up. We're going to do the whole hour show here in 4 minutes. It'll make 4 minutes less I have to do Monday morning. It's wonderful. All right, then everybody's up and rising and shining. And then we have one of our beautiful girls, soloists, sing a lovely song like this. That's a very pretty introduction. Then she sings. And then we have one little serious note on the program in the morning, and that's memory time around the breakfast table. Time when we ask everybody to just kind of gather around and share their thoughts with us. Here's a little thought I'd like to share with you tonight on the occasion of NBC's 15th anniversary. If radio's slim fingers can pluck a melody from night and toss it over a continent or sea, and if the pedaled notes of a violin are blowing across a mountain or a city's din, and if songs like crimson roses are culled from thin blue air, why should mortals wonder if God hears prayer? Thanks. It's been swell being with you tonight. Hope to see you around the breakfast table come Monday morning. So long, everybody.
Now we send the program back to Graham McNamee in New York.
Our thanks, Don McNeil. May your Breakfast Club continue to satisfy the early morning appetites of radio listeners for many years to come. Hey, what's that? What's that? What is that?
Come on, off the air, McNamee. Huh? Off the air.
Ralph, are we on?
Yeah, come on, wake up, bud.
It's been a long wait.
Yeah, it's been a long wait. This is the first time I ever knew that NBC had a milkman's matinee, did you?
Yeah. I got to speak to that Stan, his name is.
Well, Gurney, how are your musicians tonight? Is this your all-boy orchestra here?
That's my little group organized over there.
Ah, well,
802 Special.
Well, how...
All in the black tonight.
All in the black. Do they look
He's
nice?
He's conducting. You got it? Yeah, sure. Funny story there.
Ah, very good. Oh, very clever. Just to make sure they're here, because we don't use the musicians, could we have them tune up just
you
for fun?
You
want
to tune up?
Yeah, let's...
Tune up, please.
Just to make sure.
Tickets for the NBC Symphony may be...
Never mind, Bernie. Charlie!
Temple 220 to...
Just a minute. Just a minute, Bernie.
Oh,
Charlie!
There's a plug in there, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I got a memo.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, Dan sent it down to me.
Memo from the front office?
Huh?
From the front office?
I don't know what office it was.
No yellow slips in it, I hope.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's good. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, yes. Welcome to Studio X. Gee, this isn't Studio X, though, Ralph.
No, but this happens to be one of the real studios. We really don't feel at home, do we, Bud?
I'm afraid not, Ralph. Honest. I mean, gee, they got wallpaper and carpets.
Yeah.
Pretty swell. Huh?
Yeah, well... Someday they'll let us have one of these to broadcast from.
I hope so.
Yeah. But right now, I suppose we ought to wish NBC a happy birthday.
Who?
NBC, a happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
You've heard something in the preceding program about a birthday.
Yeah, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Boy, a lot of ether is going under the...
I remember 15 years ago today, you know, we tuned in on a program, and it was something like this. Mm-hmm.
Wear old shoes, they don't hurt your feet, they don't hurt your feet.
Mm-hmm. Your old shoe program, friends, brought to you by the Wear Old Company and featuring those two Wear Old songbirds.
I'm Lefty.
And
I'm Ready.
Bringing you a program of songs we all love.
Ah, yes, those were the days, weren't they?
How things
have changed, though.
Yeah.
Today, we tune in and we hear...
Wear old shoes, they don't hurt your feet, they don't hurt your feet.
Mm-hmm. Your old shoe program, friends, brought to you by the Wear Old Company and featuring those two Wear Old songbirds.
I'm Lefty.
And
I'm Ready.
Bringing you a program of songs we love.
Yes, sir, things have changed, haven't they? Yes, sir, by Joe.
But look, friends, let's take you to another part of the world here. Where those who listen to our NBC shows, I should have said there. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah,
I've been waiting so long to read this script.
That worked. Go ahead. It starts right there.
What page?
To other parts of the world.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Where all
Did you go to school?
No. They've all been listening in other parts of the world, and they've prepared special programs for an anniversary.
Oh, pardon me, Bud.
You think we're ready?
Yeah, I believe they're ready, Bud. The engineer has given me the signal. Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to Walla Walla, Washington. Take it away, Walla Walla. Take it away, Walla Walla. Take it away, Walla Walla.
Oh, no. You take it, New York.
Oh, gosh. That's awful, isn't it?
That's terrible. They've disappointed us.
Yeah.
You know, I feel badly about the whole thing. I'm going to just...
Well, listen, there's one thing about it, Bud.
Yeah?
You can always get a program from the New York studios. Take it away, New York!
They don't hurt your feet. They don't hurt your feet. They don't.
The bedlam you've just heard was picked up by our NBC mobile unit, ladies and gentlemen. And the latest report is that Ralph and Bud have been safely escorted back to their padded cell known as Studio X. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our party, our three-hour free-for-all, which marked the observance of NBC's 15th birthday, draws to a close. On the behalf of the National Broadcasting Company, I want to thank the many stars who appeared on the program and the sponsors who so graciously made them available to us. Our heartfelt gratitude goes also to the many hundreds of men and women, directors, writers, engineers, announcers, musicians, and arrangers whose splendid cooperation made this birthday program the success I think it has been. By design, ladies and gentlemen, I have left one word for the last. It is to express to you, our listeners, our grateful thanks for your loyalty and your enthusiasm all through the past 15 years. In the years ahead of us, we at the National Broadcasting Company will endeavor to merit your approval in the only way open to us, by seeing to it that our networks carry only the best, only the finest in radio programs. This is Graham McNamee saying good night all.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.